Yeah, we're in a new series that we started last Sunday, a series about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but all of our relationships, because we're seeing and feeling the tension in relationships, again, whether it's coworkers or parent-teacher or family and friends, and lots of reasons why we're feeling those things. But we started talking last week, and if you missed last Sunday, I encourage you to go to YouTube, the Church Covington. Make sure to subscribe. You can stay up to date on all of our past and recent messages. But last Sunday was one of those messages that you need to hear more than once, because there are layers to it. And sometimes you just have to sit in the Word. I have messages that I listen to, you know, annually or every few months, and I have parts of them memorized, and yet I can be hearing it and hear something in a way that I've never heard it before. Last Sunday was one of those types of messages and teachings that you need to hear more than once. So go back to that, and also that'll help you get caught up for where we are and where we are going. I don't have time to recap all of the message last week, but one of the things that helped us last week, one of the things that strengthened us last week, was the fact that we are not meant to do life alone, but we're also not meant to do life with everyone. I know that it's freeing by the amount of people that came and talked to me after church, the amount of people that reached out throughout last week. We're not meant to do life alone, but we're also not meant to do life with everyone. We taught last Sunday that God's plan for our lives includes people. And there are lots of people. Guess what? You're not going to like or get along with everyone you meet. I don't know if you know that or not. You're not going to like everybody you meet. You're not going to connect with everyone you meet. I'm going to make just a little side note. If you can't get along with anyone, it's you. It's not them. I know you feel better telling yourself that, but if everybody is a problem, you are the problem. I love you, but we got to be honest. The truth is, I need good people around me. You need good people around you. Not only do I need good people around me, I also want to be good to be around. I don't want people to see me coming and go the other way. I don't want people to see my name come up on their phone and hit decline or hit ignore or send me to voicemail. I need good people, but I want to be good to be around. And we learned last week that everyone who is good to us is not always good for us. And this is where you gotta let Jesus speak to you, and where you and the Lord have to do work in a series like this, because I don't know everybody in your life. I don't know who all of your influences are, who all of the voices are, who all of the ideas are. You got to work that out with the Lord. I know you've known them a long time. I know you may be related to them. I know you may have graduated high school with them, and I get all of those connections that we probably assume are for a lifetime, but sometimes certain people are just not good for us. And so here is the series, and this is the final recap point, because this is the entire series. The fact that there are four kinds of people who have come and are coming into your life. We talked about subtractors last Sunday. They take strength from you. There are adders, people who encourage you and make you better. There are dividers. Dividers separate you from the right people. And then there are multipliers. Multipliers are people who provide resource to you and unite you with others for a common purpose. So we talked about subtractors last week. And again, I know it resonated. I know it hit home. I know that it helped people, and I'm glad. We do not need subtractors in our lives, but I also do not want to be a subtractor in someone else's life. All of this is twofold. It's not just about what I need coming to me, what I need around me, but it's who I am as well. It's who I am and how I am living my life and the difference that I can make in someone else's life. And that's why discernment is so important. That's why self-awareness is so important. That's why having listening ears is so important. We need all of these things. So let's do a little more math today and find out about the arithmetic of relationships and talk about adders today. Adders. You see it on the screen. You've got subtraction. You've got addition. Adders encourage us and they make us better. There are so many adders in this room. So many people connected to this house that I just look at you and I can see you. Man, you're an adder. You are an encouragement. Your smile is infectious. You make a difference in people's lives, and it is a blessing. I don't know about you, but I like adders. I like people who add to me. I appreciate some encouragement. We're living in this dog-eat-dog culture. I like people who build me and make me better. Does anybody else like adders? I mean, it's just so much better than some of that we talked about last week, and the difficulty of people who take strength from us, but people who add to us, and people who bless us, and people who encourage us. That makes all the difference in our lives. But again, this is twofold, because all of us want adders. We actually need adders in our lives, but we also want to be an adder for someone else. Remember what God told Abraham, who was known as the father of faith. And because you and I are people of faith, then this applies to us as well. Genesis 12 and 2, he said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. We've really adapted this and shortened this and turned this into a quip around church life for some time now. And we just say, you know what? We're blessed to be a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless your life, Abraham, and you in turn are going to take that blessing and it's going to bless other people. Not only is the blessing going to make a difference in your life and strengthen you and encourage you, but I'm doing that so that you can pay that forward and you can bless other people with that same blessing in your life. Because this is not about receiving only. If this was just about receiving and having adders that encourage me and add strength to me, if that's what this is about, then that would be selfish. And selfish has no place in the life of a child of God. So this can't just be about what comes to me and what is added to me and how I am helped and how I am encouraged. There's another side to that coin. I've been encouraged. Now how can I encourage someone else? I have been blessed. How can I bless someone else? A difference has been made in my life. Now how can I make a difference in someone else's life? Because now that I am encouraged, now that I am better, now that I am healed, now that I am a whole person, now that I am in a more stable position, how can I be an adder to someone else? And I encourage you today, don't back off from being an adder. Don't back off from being a blessing to other people. Because honestly, there is no honor in society today. There's barely any manners left in society today. And we are tempted to lower ourselves to that level. We're tempted to just treat people the way that they're treating us. We're tempted to just do unto others as they do unto us. And because it has dwindled so low, because the bar has been lowered so much, and people are just rude, and people are just offensive, and people will just say whatever they want to say and feel like they have a right and dare you to disagree with them. And I mean, before you know it, folk are taking off earrings and just, you know, it's a whole mess, right, on aisle 17 in the Walmarts. It's just, you know, that's where we are as a society. I don't want that. I don't want that for my life. I know you don't want that for your life. So guess what? God has raised us up. He has blessed us to be a blessing and to make a difference in our community. That's why I can say to my friend Jeff today, no, I have to disagree. It's not all right for people to look down at you. It's not all right for people to judge you. I realize a mistake was made. I realize somebody tripped. I realize somebody fumbled the ball. But for the grace of God, there I go also. Their drama may have become public. Mine may still be hidden up under some rug somewhere. But I know how good God has been to me. So why would I be unkind to someone else? This is revival preaching right here. Because I've learned you can't really have the outpouring of God and still be fussing with people all the time. My vertical relationship is directly proportionate to my horizontal relationships. And if I'm cussing folk all week long, it's difficult to come in the presence of the Lord on Sunday and say, Lord, bless me. Woo, pour it out, Lord. And he's saying, I want to pour it out, but I'm afraid you're going to punch them out. I want to bless you. I don't know. You're just not going to do the right thing with it. I want to be an adder. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a strength to someone else. I've been encouraged, so I want to encourage others. Don't back off from being an adder. Don't go down to that level. If someone has been good to you, tell them. If someone has been a blessing to you, tell them. Write a note, send an email, send a text message. If someone has made a difference in your life, show them, express it to them. If anyone has added to you or blessed you, then pay it forward by adding to and blessing someone else. Listen, if just the people in this room would adapt that attitude and that mindset, what kind of difference could we make in the atmosphere of this community in the next 7 days? It's unbelievable what God could do through adders and through people who want to make a difference. Because adders encourage us and they make us better. Adders inspire us to be the person that we were meant to be. Have you ever looked up to someone? I mean, you thought well of them, you were inspired by them. Maybe it was an elder somewhere, a Sunday school teacher when you were a child, or maybe a friend or a supervisor on the job or a neighbor. There was something about them. You may not have known all the details of their life, but they just had a way about them. It was just their demeanor. It was just their manner. It was just their temperament. And you look up to them and you are inspired by them. They were, or maybe I pray they still are, an adder in your life. And then all of a sudden you're living your life and you start feeling like something is missing, or maybe that there is more for your life and you're not sure what it is. You start praying, Lord, I need an adder to come into my life. I need the right person. I need the right connection. I need the right addition in my life because I feel like there's something missing. I feel like I'm deficient in this area. I just wish I had a mentor that could educate me or school me or show me the ropes in this area of my life. I pray for adders in my life. I love Proverbs 13 and 20. The wise man said, walk with the wise and become wise. Here's the other side of that coin. Associate with fools and get in trouble. There's only two options. There's no gray area. And it all comes down to who you allow into your life. If you walk with the wise, you're going to become wise. If you walk with positive people, you're going to be positive. If you walk with blessed people, you are going to be blessed. If you hang out with fools, that's why I pray for adders in my life. This is why I need discernment for my relationships. I need right people and I need right connections, because with everything that God has called me to in 2023, I do not have time for fools. Don't have time for foolishness. I want to walk with wise people. And in all the ways that God is wanting to move in our lives, what we need are adders. But I'm going to give you a word of caution. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. 50 years old, I know it all now. When God brings adders into your life, don't make the mistake of comparing yourself to them or competing with them. It's important because many do this, and it's easy to do. We see someone who is just ahead of us, either in years or maybe in experience, and instead of admiring and learning from them, we try to compete with them. Don't do that. Don't do that. That comes from a place of insecurity. And we all have insecurities, but we need to bring our insecurities to the altar and ask God to heal those and ask God to add right people into our life to help build us in those areas of deficiency. But I'm not going to compare myself or compete with an adder in my life. I'm not going to try to fool somebody and say, well, you know, I'm as wise. No, I'm learning from them. I'm gleaning from them. They're helping me grow, and I'm gaining experience from the path that they have already walked. And Paul taught us about this. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, he said, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And the goal is wisdom. We want wisdom. But the reality is we have a crisis of comparison in society today. The poor are mad at the rich for being rich. And there's this cry for redistribution. No way. If I see you blessed, I'm not mad. I want you to teach me how you got blessed. If I see you excelling, I'm not jealous of you. I want to glean from you. I want to get around you. I want to walk with the wise so that I can become wise. I'm not trying to dress like you. I'm not trying to emulate you. I'm not trying to convince people that I am what you are. I'm saying, hey, I want you to teach me. Would you please lead a small group so all of us can come and learn and grow and mature and become. I'm not going to compare. I'm going to learn from. I want you to add to me and encourage me and make me better. Is this making sense to anybody today? It's the arithmetic of relationships. Why is this so important? Well, for one, I'd like to turn the tide of selfishness among us. We're battling against the spirit of offense and unkindness that is rampant. And all it takes is you and me to make the difference. I want you to think about something today. As simple as this is, I believe it'll be profound to you in the context of this moment and what God is speaking to us. Almost everything that God does for us, he does through other people. Think about that for a moment. Almost everything that God does for you, he does it with the help of someone in your life. I mean, it's like 99.9%. It's not random. While we were in worship, a few moments ago, notification came up on my phone. Someone had sent me a messenger message. I know this. I mean, I say I know this person. I was in a revival at the church this person attended. It was about a 25 or 26 week revival. I was there for months and months, and that was back in the day when we did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Y'all don't want revival. I've not talked to this man. I recognize his name. I know this is who this is, but I've not talked to this man in years. In years. I'm not talking about 2 years. I'm talking about 15, 17, 18 years I've not communicated with this individual. But while I'm in worship here a few moments ago and just praising God and loving God and reaching for the good things of the Lord, I get this message. I had a dream last night that you were in front of a big crowd of people and you were testifying of a great miracle you'd been seeking and received. He said, I have no idea what the miracle was. Guess what? I know exactly what it is. I feel God so strong right now. I know exactly what it is. But he said, I needed to share that with you. I needed to tell that to you. Because when God gets ready to move in our lives, even though I'm well aware of that need in my life, it's not been on my mind this morning. And yet God sent someone from 17, 18 years ago, had a dream about you. And I hear the skeptics saying, I mean, you really think? I really do. And when I'm standing up in front of whatever crowd of people that is and saying, hey, God gave me a miracle. I hope you're here. God does things through other people and blesses our life. So if I see people as a threat or competition or I get insecure, then I may miss the very thing that I asked God for. Because he's sending the miracle that we're wanting, the thing that we're desiring. He's sending it through them. What we've asked for is coming through another person. And if I'm missing that, if I'm competing with that, if I'm fighting that, then guess what? I quickly become last week's subtractor. What a strange message, I know. I know. Math is hard. Relationships can be so challenging. Relationships are downright risky. They're risky. And the enemy is doing such a good job dividing us. We're going to talk about division too. He's doing so good at getting us to turn our backs on one another and just look at each other out of the side of our eye and always keep just a spirit of offense and just, you know, just keep a little unresolved something or other. Keep a little resentment going. Just keep a little, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I like them, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Always just a little division. And he's keeping us from coming together in unity. That was the only prayer that Jesus ever prayed for us. I pray that they are one, just as my Father and I are one. Come back next week. I'm gonna give you a little more truth. Adding takes time. Because I believe we are called to cultivate relationships. Cultivate is a work word. It's a process word. It's a takes time word. That means your relationships are going to take some work. If you're emotionally lazy, if you're not willing to invest, and I understand I'm talking to people who have been hurt by other people, abused by other people. I'm not called to be alone. I'm also not called to be with everyone. And wrong people, it's all right to wave goodbye and dismiss that. But right people, I can't miss this moment. Relationships are going to take some work. And hear me, I can't be a blessing for you while being a stranger to you. So cultivate and process and maturing into more. It makes this generation itch. That's why relationships are so shallow the last number of years. Because social media, while it's really cool, it's really been detrimental to our lives. because someone can like my post and I get this, ooh, they liked my post. But it means nothing. It means nothing. I see people say asinine things on social media and they'll have 200 or 300 likes. And I'm like, can you believe there are 200 or 300 dumb people in this world that just liked that foolishness? And the reality is they probably didn't even read it. They just saw a familiar name post something, and so they liked it. I ought to try that. I need to do a social experiment. Just say something completely dumb and see how many likes I get. Just because somebody saw Daryl, oh, like that, like that, like that. What are we doing, folks? What are we doing? I want to be an adder. And I can't be an adder through a screen. I can't be a blessing to someone through a screen. And if you're in our online community today, I don't mean that you can't be blessed today. I'm talking about doing the work of relationship. Because I can't be a blessing for you while being a stranger to you. Relationships are built on trust, and trust takes time. So here's what Deuteronomy 32 said. I love this. I'm closing, but he said one could chase 1,000, but two put 10,000 to flight. So by myself, I can make a splash, but if I get connected to someone else, if I have an adder in my life, it's exponential. It's multiplied. Can you see where the series is going? It's multiplied what God can do through me and someone else, through someone else and me, through your small group, through your relationships, through someone you met during 1 minute meet, through a connection you made at church. Man, that's why I want this to be the easiest place to connect. I want it to be so easy. I want this house to be friendly, not contrived, not made up, not ginned up, not fake. And I'm so thankful that it is. I'm so thankful that it is. Because they're just fun people that go to church here. They're just cool people that go to church here. They enjoy laughing. They enjoy having a good time. And listen, if you're in a season, or maybe you've lived a few years where you just feel like you're all alone, deal with it. Come to terms with it. Realize that the enemy is trying to isolate you and set you off in a corner so that you can never feel fulfilled or whole or healed in your life. I dare you to come out of that corner and get in a small group and find out how easy it is to get to know people and get connected to people. I can't promise you that someone is never going to hurt your feelings. I can't promise you that someone is never going to cut you off in traffic again. I can't promise you that a person is not going to fail you again. But what I can guarantee you is that God will heal something in your life, that when that person cuts you off in traffic, it does not ruin your spiritual existence. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I'm not interested in just chasing 1,000. I want those 10,000. I want to keep multiplying and growing. And I'll only go so far on my own. Alone, I am limited. And God designed it just that way. It's what we said last week. Not alone, not everyone. Not alone. Not everyone. I need an adder in my life, and you need an adder in your life. And so my prayer is, God, send us people. Send us prayer partners. Send us faith builders. Send us positive people who will encourage us and make us better. It's the arithmetic of relationship. Math is hard. Relationships are hard. But Father, I pray today for every single heart in this house. Not praying for the mind first, I'm praying for the heart first, because the heart, it's either the green light or the red light that our mind obeys. If the heart is on red, we're not willing to trust, we're not willing to believe, we're not willing to have faith. We just get stuck because we think that someone else is going to hurt us, someone else is going to let us down, someone else is going to divorce us, someone else is going to abuse us, someone else is going to lie to us. But if I can get this heart on green, to say, you know what, I'm not letting wrong people in my life. I forgive what's happened. I don't forget it. Not forgetting it protects me, and I see the signs, and I start allowing my heart to believe again and love again and trust again and look forward again. And I use discernment to pray for right people, right connections in my life. I need an adder. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room that needs an adder. I guarantee you the adder they need is sitting right in front of them right now, sitting right behind them, maybe on their row. They see them, they just don't know them. But today that changes. Today, I'm going to make sure I know someone, I've met someone before I leave. I'm connecting. I'm going to let my heart beat again and believe again and trust again and hope again. Because not only are people adding to me, I am going to add to someone else. Maybe they'll forgive my long prayer today, Lord, but I feel like I need to pray for someone in this room who feels like they have nothing to offer. They feel like their words would never count. They feel like their hug would never heal. They feel like their company would make no difference. I rebuke the devil. I need that person, Lord, to sign up for greeting. I need that person to get on a cafe team. Because I know there are so many miracles inside of them that the devil is trying to keep them from ever making the connection, because they have so much healing in their hands and so much grace to offer hurting people. I thank you, Jesus, that you're doing a work among us today, that you're healing hearts and you're helping people in this room. And there may be someone today, as we close, that needs you, Lord. Because if I've worked to get all of my horizontal relationships good, but I haven't settled this vertical relationship, that's the one between you and I, then I'm wasting my time. I got to make sure that you and I are good today, Lord. How do you do that? Repent of your sin. You say, Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry for what I've turned my life into. I'm sorry for choices that I made today. Today I make a better choice, a best choice for my life. I choose Jesus. So forgive us today, Lord, our sin. We repent. We ask for your grace to cover us. We ask you to save us. We ask you to make the difference in our lives. We're drawn to baptism. We're drawn toward things of your Spirit, Lord. And we will not stop here, but we will keep reaching, pursuing, and getting all that we can through our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.